There's the magic music again. That means it's time for another live episode of the Power Hour, Monday, October 25th, 11:06 a.m. Central Time. For those of you just joining us, if you're listening live, hey, guess what? We have a telephone number that you can call in, 844-769-2944, and engage in a little social intercourse right here on this program. We have the powerhour.com website. Many of you are listening to that, to the broadcast on that site. And there are links to the Power Mall, which we ask you to support. We have some specials on the Power Mall we'll tell you about. Over the course of today, we've got a huge guest roster of people that are going to be speaking to the issues of the day. Dave Krieger with you, of course, and the issues of the day. I mean, what possibly, I mean, how many scenarios do you really think that there are out there that we have to worry about? And we're going to be addressing three of those issues. The conservatism movement with Will Witt. He is a social influencer that's connected to Prager University. Many of you who are out there that listen to this broadcast know who Dennis Prager is. And he's a talk show host, too, conservative talk show host. The conservative movement, it's really funny how the liberal media are getting such poor ratings now. There's probably about 1.25 million listeners or viewers that actually watch the Communist News Network. That's what I call them. I just really have an issue with the way a lot of these liberal show hosts are posturing us. And you've got to look at karma. Karma is interesting, especially when you get somebody like Alec Baldwin, who has basically just marginalized former President Trump the entire time he was in office, ridiculed him, and now what goes around comes around, Alec. He could face charges, potential involuntary manslaughter, not to mention the civil penalties that could be inflicted upon him, since he, it appears, is one of the producers of the movie that they were shooting in New Mexico. The DP, for those of you who are not in the movie business or have never been acquainted with the movie business, director of photography, Helena Hutchins, 42, she was the DP on this movie, was killed when Alec Baldwin aimed a prop gun at her and pulled the trigger. But there was a live round in the gun. The armorer who allegedly provided this prop gun was 24 years old, and her father apparently trained her, because he was an armorer in the movie industry, on how to handle these things. But then there have been some disgruntled employees that quit the set of the new movie Rust. And how do we know that one of them didn't sneak back on the set and put a live round in that gun to screw with Alec Baldwin? Wow. So many different narratives coming in around that case. And it's just like the Gabby Petito, you know, you got all this stuff going on and nobody's paying attention what's really going on. We are going to be discussing what is happening with the background narratives, the scenarios, the sleeper cells. In our second hour, we're going to have Frank Gaffney Jr. on the show. And hopefully you can get past a lot of his controversy and seek the truth, which is what we do on this program. Well, so if you're living in England, Breitbart is now reporting Britain's health secretary is planning to make coronavirus vaccines mandatory for all health care workers who are employed by the National Health Service, despite similar requirements for care home workers. Tens of thousands of people are threatening to quit if this becomes a reality. Well, this is not the only location where people are messing, the government is messing with people. The vaccine mandate, according to Epoch Times, is threatening major trucking disruption. American truckers, according to this article by Jackson Elliott et al., don't like taking orders, especially from FJB. I think everybody knows what that acronym stands for. Let's go, Brandon, right? The Biden administration has increased pressure on some of them to take the vaccine, willing or unwilling. All through the pandemic, truckers, like everyone else, endured hardships to keep America's infrastructure running. They waited in line for hours inside of bathrooms they weren't allowed to use. On the road, some died alone of COVID. You know, it's really crazy. Now we have this supply chain issue, which basically was self-inflicted. They can't tell me it wasn't. I'm of the libertarian persuasion. I point a finger at both sides of the aisle and ask them, what have you done for America lately? Because both sides of the aisle are responsible for the mess that's going on here. Rhino or no rhino, liberal or no liberal, the fact of the matter is they all swore the same oath I did when I served in Vietnam to protect against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Now we have all this lawbreaking going on, and everybody in Congress is just sitting there trying to pass bills. And for those of you that don't understand, you know, we like to blame presidents for every little thing. And people just kind of don't take into consideration that the president is the, this is the irony of it all, the chief enforcement officer of the United States of America. He is the one who has been tasked, according to the Constitution, to enforce the laws made by the legislative branch. The legislative branch passes laws, which are then sent to the chief executive officer to sign into law with the agreement that they will be enforced by the executive branch. Well, what did the executive leader who has the mental acuity of a two-year-old do the first day in office? 44 executive orders, substantially undoing, out of political spite, everything that the Trump administration put into effect and left for them to do. Hey, if he would have just stuck to those policies, we'd still be okay. But no, we have a political agenda out there that this communist hierarchy, and that's what I call them. I'm talking about the House Majority Leader, the Senate Majority Leader, the President, the Vice President, most everybody in his cabinet. To me, Marxism, you know what that alludes to, authoritarianism. And authoritarianism begats communism. So you might as well cut to the chase and just call these leaders that hold positions of power in our government a bunch of commies. They're letting potential terrorists into this country. This is not a drill, folks. This is really happening. These communist dictator authoritarian leaders have basically gone on to put mandates and all sorts of other garbage in place and allowed our borders to run amok, killed our energy independence. And they did this for a reason. They did it because they want to cripple America. Only communists would do something like that. They would want to see America burn. Same with all of our enemies out there that scream Allah Akbar when they flew planes into the Twin Towers. I am not saying that a plane actually flew into the Pentagon, because I didn't see any wreckage on the lawn, nor did I see any wreckage in the hole punched out in Section E of the Pentagon. There's a nice clean round hole there with no airplane wreckage that kind of looks like, if you look at the photos, was made by a missile. So what happened to the airplane that allegedly crashed into the Pentagon? Yeah, the day that happened, I got stranded in El Paso, Texas. It was kind of weird, because see, history repeats itself. And if you're going to let all these terrorists into the country, first off, why would you do a thing like that? Well, maybe because if they commit a terrorist act, what happens? Everybody gets locked down and they declare martial law. Nobody can travel. They know where you are. And so if you're not prepared yourself to defend your homestead, you're in trouble. I mean, you might as well put a sign on your front yard saying, I'm an unarmed Democrat. Because what will end up happening is, you know, they know whose door to kick in, because they don't have a gun. And the thing that I've always asked myself, and of course I was talking to the producers of the show, God love them, this morning, and I still posited that Rasmussen poll, which we need to constantly check on Rasmussen's website and see if there's any new polls out, because the one that I was referring to was the one where last year they surveyed 1,000 listeners or viewers of their website, and the 1,000 people they interviewed basically said that they believed that America was going to be involved in another civil war in the next 5 years. 31%. And then they did another poll, and it said 62% of those surveyed were actually stocking up on guns, ammo, and food. Now, you got to ask yourself that same question I keep asking of my listeners here on the Power Hour. If people were not anticipating we could be in another civil war in a certain amount of time, why then is everyone stocking up on guns, ammo, and food? Answer me that question. And you're probably sharing my mindset, which 100 other people probably share in the immediate. And a lot of other people, if they would sit down and look at how history repeated itself, we all started out with the old Dr. Seuss funny that I came up with, one state, two state, red state, blue state. Well, back in 1850, we had the Missouri Compromise, and that kind of drove a divisive rift into the states in existence at the time. 13 of those states, starting with South Carolina in April 1861, voted to secede from the Union. Question is, because history repeats itself and those who are ignorant of it are condemned to repeat it, is it possible that we could see another rash of attempted secessions in the future? There are several states that have already intimated that that is a possibility. It's being looked at. It's being considered for them to even think about splitting off from the Union. And I'm talking about Texas and Florida per se, and Texas especially, because Texas could be its own country, and Texans love their guns. And the reason that we have not been overrun by foreign troops and powder blue helmets is because of the fact that most of America is armed, at least the right-thinking lot. The thing is that we have a natural God-given right, according to the Constitution, which I swore when I was serving during the Vietnam era, to uphold and protect and defend. So by heart, being a libertarian, I'm also a constitutionalist, even though I do not ascribe to every single thing the Cato Institute says, because I think some of those people at Cato have been drinking the Kool-Aid. And I think which Kool-Aid, you already know where I'm going with that. You have issues like the National School Board, Epic Times is reporting. The National School Boards Association is now apologizing over a letter that it sent to the Biden administration calling parents domestic terrorists. Now, it's a little late because we've all seen Merrick Garland, the acting attorney general. I call him acting because that's exactly what his office is now representing to the average Joe that's viewing him on television. And the stuff, the narratives that he was maintaining when he was interviewed by various different lawmakers about whether or not he intends to use the FBI to go into the local school boards and harass and intimidate parents who are complaining about the way their kids are educating. Understand that you don't, as a National School Board Association, put out memos not expecting some backlash. Oh, yes, and they did get it. 20 states, at least 20 states, school board organizations in those states distanced themselves from the NSBA, citing a disagreement over the way they characterized concerned parents. Some have quit or moved to leave that organization. So you see, political, and this is not the first organization that is politically connected. We're talking about bar associations, too. Both Texas and Oregon, that I'm familiar with, have been sued because of constitutional issues that the bar created, especially the way dues was spent influencing elections. I got a real problem with that too, folks. because these are basically clubs that you join, especially the Bar Association, when you graduate from law school and you sit down for what? The bar. Well, they got to make sure that you're not incompetent and that you have a decent character reference, yet they turn around and they spend your dues any way they feel like it. And that's a real problem because they allegedly, it's kind of like a monopoly of the legal industry. Even though I have a lot of attorneys that I work with as a paralegal when I'm doing that, and I'm doing a lot of research, which is one of the reasons why, you know, some of my commentary may reflect that. But see, once you've unzipped your fly, and I'm talking about the NSBA sending a letter to Merrick Garland saying that these people are coming in and threatening us and we want the FBI involved. When you start having the federal government come in and exercise jurisdiction, even though school districts receive federal funding, you got to ask yourself the question, what would happen if a state seceded from the union and rejected federal funding? I guess they could teach what they wanted to. At least they wouldn't be teaching pedophilia in the schools, which is, you know, got to make you wonder. What exactly is the intent behind this political agenda? If you live in Florida, you should know Breitbart's reporting your governor, Ron DeSantis, will seek to create legislation that will give a $5,000 bonus to unvaccinated police officers who relocate to Florida in defiance of their vaccine mandate. He was on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo. He said he's now actively working to recruit out-of-state police officers who have been fired or placed on unpaid leave due to their city's vaccine mandate. Well, they might get a whole lot of people from Seattle and Chicago and various other police departments in these blue state cities. He's reaching out to NYPD, Minneapolis, and Seattle. Said they'll treat you better here. You can fill important needs for us. We'll compensate you as a result. $5,000 bonus. That would be enough basically to move the average family to Florida. DeSantis has always maintained that Sleepy Joe, his vaccine mandates are unconstitutional. That will wreak havoc on the economy. Duh. We already have seen this. We've seen the censorship. A lot of garbage happening out there. Comcast censoring TV ad by family claiming their 12-year-old daughter was paralyzed by the Pfizer jab. Well, how, you know, we know that this is happening, folks. We know the number of deaths caused by the jabs, numbers above 200,000 people. They don't have to tell us that. We just look at the Medicare stats. And we know. It's not one of these things that, you know, you just take for granted. There is a lot of research that goes into making that decision why you should take the jab and why you should not take the jab. Because of the fact that taking that jab might result in a problem, especially if you have a blood clot and you have a stroke and you happen to be driving a truck, a semi-tractor trailer, or you might be commandeering an airplane, flying an airplane, and all of a sudden you stroke out at 38,000 feet. You could be driving along, which I don't understand why people wear masks in their cars. Great way to give yourself a case of hypoxia. What happens if you stroke out in your car and you lose control of the vehicle? Then what happens? You kill somebody else, and, you know, if you're unlucky, you're going to kill somebody else who was vaccinated. And this is the problem. These studies in Israel are showing that those who have been vaccinated, which constitute about 95% of the population over there, 95% of them have been vaccinated, and 95% of them are all having either adverse events, getting mildly sick, or coming down with full-blown cases of COVID. A great number of them that are hospitalized are vaccinated, as opposed to those who are not vaccinated, those other 5%, are healthy as all get out. And no, they don't have to sit there and eat a gallon or drink a gallon of horse dewormer, because that's not what you do. So all of this garbage that the liberal media wants to spew out about people like Joe Rogan taking horse dewormer when they knew damn well that's not what he was doing, but they denied it anyway and smeared him anyway. And then you got people like Dr. Anthony Mengele, Fauci, who is now saying, according to Newsmax, that in November, vaccines will likely be available for those ages 5 to 11. Wow. Now, here's a great way to sterilize your kids. Oh, did I say something improper here? You got to understand that we've had 900 plus miscarriages as a result of the jab. Happened right after they took the jab. Pregnant women aborted their fetuses. Gee, I mean, you know, what do you say? Hey, it infects the entire body in addition to the day after pill, the morning after pill. I'm serious. This whole shooting match is under the control of our government, who colluded with China to infiltrate this country and eliminate as much of the population as possible. So we hear from people like David Martin from the University of Virginia. He's basically deemed this a eugenics campaign. And this is one of the reasons why, when you start even hearing mild rumors of the 30 different adverse effects that these vaxes could give you, you end up with blood clots in the brain, end up stroking out, ending up with myocarditis, any other number of things. And at Walgreens, of course, your major, you know, Coca-Woca stores, you know, Walgreens, they're all going to roll out the Moderna and J&J COVID-19. Pretty soon they'll have commercials on TV. That's right, friends. You can mix or match your doses. Yeah, we'd like to just, you know, watch them all mix and match J&J boosters. Hey, while you're at it, why not go get more? You know, if they were really creative, they'd make them in suppository form to give people instant gratification. Oh, no, I'm just talking about my other made-up drug called Damitol. You know, hey, what can I say? You know, your daughter didn't run off with a rock station disc jockey, and you didn't lose your job, and you're not depressed, but you literally could be fighting the enemy within. We hope to God that if you're listening to this show, you haven't drunk in the Kool-Aid. What can I say? Hey, we're going to be joined by Will Witt after the break. Wait till you hear what he's got to share with you. Dave Krieger on the Power Hour. Stay with us.
This is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Hi, this is Jay with the Power Mall. Stock up now on your winter wellness essentials from OptiVita Health with our buy two, get one 50% off sale. Save on OptiVita Silver Liquid, Silver Gel, Silver Lozenges, Vitamin C, Vitamin D, Super Krill Oil, and don't forget your Silver Spray Accessory Kit. Shop the sale until October 31st. To order, visit thepowermall.com or call 877-817-8255. 9829.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, You know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Yes, we're back. The Power Hour, Dave Krieger with you. And, you know, there are, you ever heard the book, what was it, How to Win Friends and Influence People? Well, you know, the thing is influencing people has become very difficult in America these days because people have literally, with this 20-month lockdown and all of these narratives, scenarios that have been posited against people, the censorship, as a result of people who are speaking out, being labeled a domestic terrorist. Influencing people has become, I guess you could say, it's become a profession. And our next guest has a new book out, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, Taking on Liberal Arguments with Logic and Humor. That's the name of the book. I'm looking at the front page of this 289-page marvel. And you should probably get a copy of this book because it will definitely give you some insight as to how to fight back against the liberal media and establishment. And we welcome Will Witt, the author of that book, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, to the Power Hour. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
And so you obviously have had a connection from what we were discussing on before we went on to Dennis Prager from Prager University. Give me a little background on that. How long have you known him, and how'd you get started doing this?
Of course, yeah. Dennis is like a mentor to me. I mean, he is truly one of the most incredible men that I've ever met. Because of Dennis is why I wanted to work for Prager U. You know, I grew up as a liberal atheist my entire life, and it wasn't until I went to college that I realized that so much of what people were telling me was a lie. You know, I feel like most people go to college and they get brainwashed and they become a leftist. Mine was the opposite, where I was a leftist and then became a conservative just because I saw how ridiculous some of the things that they were saying, taking classes about white privilege and how capitalism is terrible and how racist everything is. It seemed incredibly weird to me. And so I eventually found out about PragerU and some other organizations, and I decided to make a video for PragerU. This is about 4 years ago, and they ended up loving the video. I sent it to PragerU. They posted it, and then long story short, they offered me a job, and after 2 years of college, dropped out of school, moved to Los Angeles to go and work for PragerU and do what I do now. So, and that's how I got in touch with Dennis and was able to meet him and become very close friends with him now with everything I do.
Well, that's wonderful. So the young conservatives in America, and there are many, folks. There are a lot of people out there who want to contribute, and they want to have their voices heard. And every so often, I get an email, and this is an interesting email. The name of the website is Young Americans Against Socialism. Don't know if you're familiar with them or not.
Yeah,
this
Morgan
is
Morgan
Ziegers.
Uh-huh.
And I just noticed here that they're saying Colorado State University threatens to arrest unvaccinated students. This is off her most recent post. Have you had a lot of input or involvement into what's going on college campuses now that you've left that scene?
Yes, I've had a lot, actually. I'm actually on a college campus right now. I'm at University
Which
of North
one, pray
Texas.
Tell, can you tell us?
University of North Texas in Dallas, or around Denton, Texas. And I am shocked.
Really?
You know, this is supposed to be Texas, and I am shocked by the amount of masks outside that I'm seeing here.
It oh, my.
Is quite revealing of what is happening to the state. But I spend a lot of time on college campuses to interview students and talk to people and influence them to have different points of view. You know, that has always been the pinnacle principle of my videos. Lots of people will go and make videos where they want to just say, hey, here's how the left looks dumb, and I want to make content for people who already agree with me. My pinnacle concern has always been to make videos where I am changing people's minds, where people are learning something, being educated, and even if I don't change the person's mind of who I'm talking to, at least someone who watched the video might be able to use those tools to influence other people, and that's why I wrote the book.
Right, and of course now, fleeing California. See, this, I always talk in the show about people voting with their feet. You kind of plugged into that narrative, did you not?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I made Fleeing California, which is a short documentary about why people are leaving California and moving to places like Texas. Texas has a much better quality of life than Florida, and then California, my bad, in almost every single way, right? The economy, just happiness-wise, being able to start a family, all of this is just better in Texas. And so people are leaving California and understand that this state is being destroyed, being run into the ground by the people who are in charge of it. But it takes people knowing that if they move to somewhere like Texas or Florida to know that, hey, I can't let this place be destroyed by the left either. I need to be incredibly adamant about what I believe when I move to one of these new places, because otherwise it'll be lost, just like California.
Right. And see, one of my friends here that I know who's a real estate broker, his daughter goes to Baylor. And constantly he's being bombarded with, well, Dad, the dean says if we all get the jab, that everything will get back to normal. And I'm like, these people are lying through their teeth. So you, in this book, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, describe ways to combat the leftist narrative. And this especially focuses on Gen Zs and millennials. Can you share some of that? At least give me some bullet points.
Yeah, and it's funny you said that about the vaccine. I mean, they said the same thing about the masks, right? They said, oh, if we just all wear masks and shut down our business for 15 days, we'll be going back to normal. And what, it's been almost 2 years now since these things started. I mean, it feels like a never-ending cycle. Anyway, the thing about my book that I really wanted to get across to people is that I think there are lots of books that will say, hey, the left sucks and here's why. Now, my book does talk about that, but what it really focuses on is how people can actually use the strategies within to change other people's minds. That is why I made the book, because I want to get back to us in America where we can have good conversations with people. You know, we used to have shared values in this country where maybe even though you're a Republican or someone else is a Democrat, you guys could have a conversation, because at the end of the day, you realize, hey, we both love America. We both think the founding of this country was great, and we don't want to be anywhere else. That's what we used to have in this country. We no longer have shared values. And so when I'm going up and talking to people and the tools that are within the book, it is that I give people the questions and persuasion tactics that they can actually use to go and change people's minds. All of the questions that I tell people you can ask these questions have facts infused within them that you can use to be able to change people's minds. Because it's not necessarily you changing that person's mind. It is them changing their own mind because they can't answer the question that you gave to them. And I really think that is how we're going to be the most successful at actually waking this country up, is by asking questions in a compassionate and humble way.
Well, that's, yeah, that's important, passionate and humble, because I when I get out of my car at a Sam's parking lot and see two guys fighting over a parking space in each other's face outside of their vehicles, it's like, dudes, do we need to call 911? It's like, you know, what got into your head? You've been programmed by a government you believed was doing the right thing. I'm not so sure
that's
that
exactly
President
right.
Trump, when he you know, launched Operation Warp Speed, knew what was going on. I think that he'd been lied to by those in power. And it's always possible to get bad logic, but it seems like, Will, and this book could play into that heavily, that when they go after to censor people, and I'm sure they, you know, given you share of your headache, the liberal media has, what we're looking at as far as, you know, being able to get people out of this funk that they're in and get them to at least get on the right track, even if they don't want to read your book, they've been programmed and have come to believe that everything their government does is right. And as I've always said, it's dangerous to be right when the government's wrong. But, you know, when people wake up, they immediately get vehement about their viewpoints and attitudes. And from what you're telling me, that's kind of the wrong way to approach this.
Yeah, listen, I think that I first of all think that anyone's mind can change. The co-host on my show, Will and Amala Live, her name's Amala, and she is, you know, a fantastic voice for conservatives. But she used to work for Black Lives Matter and other organizations in Florida like that, and went to school board meetings to scream at people. You know, she has a Black Lives Matter tattoo on her arm still. This is how deep she was. So I think that anyone's mind can change, but I really think that it is through compassion. But the way about it is not in the groupthink. I spoke at University of Maryland about 3 weeks ago for my book tour. And I went there, and there was probably about 50 protesters waiting there for me at my event.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, one of them even had a sign that said, Will Witt is a racist and a liar. I mean, this is the level of delusion that we're dealing with. And
right.
I go up and talk to them, and I say, hey, I'm sure that the left has said some lies about me to you, and I'm sure that maybe even conservatives have lied about you to me. Can we have a conversation and talk about this and figure out why you think I'm hurting marginalized communities, according to them, and a racist and a liar? And what do? They screamed at me. They yelled obscenities. They said vulgar, horrible things about me when I'm just trying to talk to them. I saved them seats at the event that they could come in and be able to ask questions during the Q&A, and none of them came to the event. So when you get people together in a groupthink mindset or a mob, it's going to be very difficult for you to change minds. That's why my book focuses not so much on that. It focuses on individual conversations. Individual conversations where you can talk to people and be able to change their minds. I've already been here in Texas at this university. I'm talking to people about wind and solar energy. And I've been able to educate every single person I talk to on how wind and solar energy actually is what caused the Great Texas Freeze this last year. And it's through asking questions in a non-combative way. Now, look, there is a time for being combative and being aggressive and passionate. I do it all the time. But when you're having individual conversations with someone who you really want to educate, that is not the way to influence that person.
Back to the old saying about drawing flies with honey rather than vinegar.
Uh-huh, exactly.
So the interesting part about it is that you've been going all over the country and you still see evidence of people that have been brainwashed into believing everything. And your co-host, I mean, when did she figure out that BLM wasn't all it was cracked up to be, when she found out that Patrice Cullors bought all this real estate with money that she garnered from the BLM movement, from all those donations? How'd she change?
Luckily, it was before that. This was about a year and a half ago, and the reason why she changed her mind on all these things is because she worked for these leftist organizations, and they started talking about how terrible white people are. And she has a white mom. She's black, but she has a white mom. And she went to go ask the people who she worked for some questions about some things that were maybe confusing about that. You know, are white people so terrible when my mom is white and raising a black daughter? And she went and asked about that, and they wouldn't answer her question. They told her that she can't ask that, and that she doesn't understand her own oppression, right? So that is how wild it was. And so after that, she started doing some research on her own and found, like, wow, all these leftist things, I don't agree with any of it. And so she became very outspoken as a conservative. And that's exactly how I was, too. You know, once you feel like you've been lied to for so long, I think that you feel very compelled to actually go and speak truth. That's how it was for me. And that's how it was
right.
for Amala. And so we make a good team in that sense. So we both understand how the left thinks and feels and are able to combat that very well.
Interesting. So you joined the ranks of Candace Owens, who I just am so fond of and admire.
Yeah, she's a good friend.
Every time she shows up on Fox, it's just like, oh, here she is again. Come on, turn it up.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it's nice to hear. Yeah, well, it's nice to hear that America's not really racist.
Of course not. I mean, to think that America is a racist country is a chaotic, horrible thing to say. Why are millions of black Africans moving to America? Because it's racist? No, of course not, because they have more opportunity here than anywhere else, and they do incredibly well when they move here. In the 1930s, were Jews from Poland moving to Nazi Germany? Of course not, because that was a real racially intolerant place. But Africans are coming to America because they know that it is not the racist country people say it is, and they have more opportunity here than anywhere else. Right? And America wasn't even founded on racism. I mean, Thomas Jefferson, the original Declaration of Independence, where it says life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, it originally said life, liberty, and property. But they changed it to pursuit of happiness because at the time, slaves were considered property, and they didn't want slaves to be a God-given right given to you, endowed on you. That's how smart these guys were. I mean, to think that America is this racist, horrible country is truly, truly evil. It is evil to think that.
I believe you. You know, I really, as a matter of fact, during your attempted recall, I financially and politically supported Larry Elder. That guy probably has more common sense than most radio talk show hosts and politicians out there. I think he would have been a much better fit for California. What do you think about that?
Well, much better fit than Gavin Newsom, of course. I mean, Gavin Newsom is a terrible leader, and he has destroyed much of California in the name of preserving his own interests and his business ventures and things that actually matter to him. So, yeah, I am very disappointed in what happened in that recall, but I think that people in California are demoralized. I think that people think that there's no hope in California, and I agree. I think that California is over. I have to say that. It's very sad to say. I live in California. I want to leave, but I think that it is over. I feel like the people who are staying in California are on the east side of the Berlin Wall while it's being built and not realizing what the wall actually represents. And I think that anyone who loves freedom needs to understand that, you know, you got to get out. You got to move to West Berlin. That's really what you have to do. You have to get on the other side of the wall before it's too late. So I hope that people in California do, and hopefully California will destroy itself so then we can, you know, come back in after it's destroyed and fix it. But it's hard to see. It's really hard to see.
It is. And that's the one sad thing about the blue state cities is in your rate of homelessness there and the way that politicians in your area, and I think we know one of whom we're talking about that doesn't even live in her district. and I'm talking about Maxine Waters. These people, to me, it's just the level of hypocrisy that these people present, and half the time they open their mouth, they don't even know what they're talking about. Yet they've been influenced by the party line and not the person. This is the way most people in California, it's like you're either a registered Democrat, a registered Republican, and if you vote any other platform than them, you're wasting your vote. This is how people in America have been conditioned to behave. And so I'm actually glad that you put this book out because maybe some of Gen Z and the millennials who are facing this nonsense. I mean, the people, you find that this, basically, you've already won a friend when you're dealing with somebody from the older generation from World War II forward in time. People, the baby boomers, they're already pretty much either set in their ways or how much you think this book could benefit baby boomers? Because we're the ones that are facing the music right now as the younger generation is moving into positions where they could make a difference and they have to know which road they're traveling on. What's your take on that?
Well, it could most definitely influence those people. I mean, the book is made for everyone. It's not just for younger people. I'm a younger person, so people might assume that. But and it's great for college campuses or high school campuses. But it's great for if you are an older person and want to talk to people about these ideas as well. It works. The tactics and questions are for everyone. So, but it's interesting you brought that up about the parties in this country. I mean, Auberon Herbert, a great literary mind, said that people, when they align with a party, they're turned into ciphers, was the word he used. And the word ciphers essentially means that you look about you look at what your party's doing before you look at yourself as an individual. And so it means you can control people because people want to be a part of that certain group. And that's exactly how it is all over this country. That's exactly how it is with our politicians. Like you were talking about, Maxine Waters not in her own district. And then Maxine Waters comes and talks about, you know, these Border Patrol agents being whipped by the, or whipping the Haitian migrants at the border, which is a total lie. And she can say, oh, we want the borders open. This is everything we want. And then she doesn't live in her district. And the illegal immigrants who are coming over the border don't live in her neighborhood, right? So these people can say whatever they want. They do say whatever they want. And people keep buying it up because they are controlled by the party and the political system that we have now in America. And it's incredibly sad. When your politicians can be bought and sold like bargaining chips, you no longer have a country.
So when you go out and you do these talks, and do you always run into protesters everywhere you show up?
No, not every single time. I go to some places where people are very nice to me, and that's wonderful, you know. But a lot of the time, there are people who will protest me and who hate me. But the thing is, none of these people will ever talk to me. You know, they won't come and have a conversation with me. I was just listening to this podcast the other day. It was a podcast of some kids who came to my event. And they compared my event to a Klan rally, a KKK rally. They said, me being born again in Jesus Christ, getting baptized. Well, I got baptized 9 months ago. And they said that that's akin to being a Nazi. I mean, they said all of these horrible, disgusting things about me. And it's like they were at the event. You were at the event. You could have came and asked me a question and told me why I'm a Nazi or a white supremacist or any of these things that you're claiming that I am. But none of them did. None of them ever do.
Wow.
They just come and they complain about it and they tell me how terrible I am on social media, but they never come and actually have those conversations. And that's the nature of the left. The left can only destroy. It does not know how to create a dialogue. It only knows how to destroy free speech.
Well, that, and they know basically you attack the person, not the party, not the principle. You attack the person.
Right. Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, and this is the thing that, I mean, they've done this every time. And folks, if you don't have this word in your vocabulary, you should. It's called demonization. And
yeah.
Anyone that the government wants to basically put on a pedestal in a negative light, they use it. They use the media. The media is their tool to smear anyone they don't like, their narrative or any of what they stand for. It's called demonization. And all they do, you know, when I want to look at, I remember the tax movement that was out back in the 70s and 80s. They used to they'd show up at a congressperson's rally, and they would put flyers in their seats of everybody who was attending. And when they'd get there, they would open up these flyers, and there would be the voting record of all the tax and spend legislation that these legislators, you know, they can't handle the truth when they're confronted with it. It's just like they're in and I've used the term before on this program, cognitive dissonance. They have a real problem with coming to understand where we're coming from and the fact that, hey, did you even bother to look at what was going on prior to Hair Sniffer Joe taking office? I mean, did you ever look, you know, what was going on before that and how successful America was and how more secure we were and how the economy was doing great and we achieved energy independence? And then I got to ask myself the question, like you probably are asking a lot of your people, is what changed all that? What part of those changes you agree with? You run into that?
Well, it's much easier for people not to have to look. If you don't have to look at what's really going on, then you don't ever actually have to be a passionate, articulate, creative, novel person. I mean, that's what cancel culture is. What is cancel culture? Cancel culture is just mediocre people who have never had a new or novel idea in their entire life coming and trying to destroy someone with a difference of opinion because they've never thought of anything interesting themselves. That is what cancel culture is. It is a herd mentality, a herd mentality where people are coming together because they feel good in a group. It feels much better to be a mindless drone and a sheep and live a mediocre life than to actually do something brave. Being brave is scary. Being brave is hard. Having your own opinion and being different than other people and potentially being a pariah in the community that you live in, that is a scary prospect for a lot of people. So instead of doing that, they would rather just stick with the herd and be one of a million. be one of a massive group of people. They don't care about going and finding their own research, and I wish that they did, but it's human nature. I mean, it goes even beyond politics. That's just how people act when they're in large groups of people. And so I would hope that people would go and do their own research, but it's incredibly difficult for that to be done. Again, that is why I made my book, that it's individual conversations with people and you opening their mind to a different way of thinking in a non-combative way so that they actually feel enticed and interested to go out and do that research.
Sure. How many of these people that you confront or try to engage in conversation that you get this air of entitlement that's been put in their head? You confront that? How do you confront that entitlement? That seems to be a big problem with these people.
Yeah, it for sure is. I mean, I confront that problem every single day with this entitlement. I mean, it is young people every single day who think that, you know, they know more than everyone else. And that kind of shows you that we have a godless society in a way. You know, the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. There's no asterisk next to honor your father and mother. But the fact that younger people in this country no longer do that, they'll stop talking to their parents. Maybe if their parents say, oh, I'm unvaccinated, I don't want to get the vaccine, or the parents voted for Trump, the kid will stop talking to their parents because of something like that. I mean, it truly shows you that we are in a godless society, and that's where a lot of our problems stem from. And a lot of these young people, they just feel so entitled, and they feel like they know everything, but they have been influenced to think that they know everything. I mean, their parents raised them thinking that all of them get a trophy just for breathing. And so when you have that type of culture that rewards that type of behavior, then, you know, that's what's going to happen.
For sure. All right, the name of the book, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies by Will Witt. Taking on liberal arguments with logic and humor. Will, thanks so much for coming on the Power Hour. Hope to have you on again soon. You can talk about more of your exploits. Thank you so much for being on the show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, coming up, Frank Gaffney in the next half hour. Oh, my. Wait till you hear where we go with this program. This is the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Stay with us.
But what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.